Spanish. They call me, well, I used to. They call me Chillon, which means they used to. Not anymore.
Did you make a basket?
Huh?
Did you make a basket?
Which means crybaby. And I'm very susceptible to the tears. And man, I feel like crying right now. But tears of joy. Used to be because I was wimpy. And maybe I still am wimpy. But now it's of joy. And listening to that, and the fact that I can say and understand, you know what I'm saying, he's worthy. It happens at times, and while I'm driving my vehicle going from one place to another, that the songs that I sing bring tears to my eyes, and it's because I'm grateful. He saved me, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for y'all for inviting me. Every little detail, you know, that you all do, it's noticed. Kelly and I notice them. Thank you. Thank you all for having us over, for your prayers, for the offerings. And we love you. We really love you. I wanna ask you all to continue to pray for the churches down in Mexico. The work in Pachuca, all the churches. But I ask you to continue to pray for them. Just before I begin my message, Corey yesterday was talking about how nice Americans are. I don't know what type of Americans you guys sent down to Mexico some years ago. But from day one, my name was changed from Marco to Potlicker to Bola de Mugre, which means scumball. I got called wetback, even though I was in my own. Day one. And it wasn't one, it was all of them. But there was no doubt. And there hasn't been any doubt in my mind that it was the love of God, in a strange way, shown. But there was no doubt there was love. I was only 6 months, I think a little over 6 months in Aguascalientes. But that's the time God used to save me. And he didn't only save me. I mean, in those 6 months changed my life. The things I witnessed and I was able to be a part of just completely changed my life. And it happened because you all had a vision. God and you all cannot be thanked enough. The first epistle of John. Chapter 2. I'm only going to read second half of verse 14. Amen. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The wicked one. To be able to overcome the wicked one. I mean, Satan. And I'm not talking only that we overcome the wicked one because we're saved. I mean, he overcame the wicked one and gave unto us salvation.
That's right.
That's not what it's saying here. I don't think that's saying that they overcame the wicked one because they got saved. I think it's saying something much more deeper. I don't think it's even talking about overcoming the wicked one every now and then. I think we can say that we, at one time or another, you know, we overcome the wicked one. I can't always say I always overcome the wicked one. But the testimony here, to me, it seems real powerful. And it touches me in a very special way. Who does he address it to? Young man.
That's right.
When I first read this, I couldn't help but think, What that was like. What type of testimony? Who was it that he was speaking about? We don't even know. Just some young men that were known to be strong, that the word of God abided in them.
Yes.
And mainly that they had overcome the wicked one.
Yes, amen.
That's powerful. And maybe some of you have witnessed something like this in your lifetime. You know, see a group of men, of young men, that this could apply to. I come from a place where I've never seen it. Just before the meeting began, I was asking Brother Brent, what year was it when many young men from this church surrounded to go out and preach? I had in my mind it was 19, I was wrong, I had in my mind it was 1985 or 86. He told me no, it was 1976. How old were you all back then?
Young.
18 or 19. And you're older than him, brother? No, you're older than him?
No, I'm
20. Okay. Anyway, some young men surrendered to go out.
That's right.
And it wasn't just some emotion. I wasn't there, but the stories I hear, the pictures I look at, these were men with their families being called out.
Yes.
To do something great.
Amen.
How often does that happen? How often can we apply this to young men? You know, in Mexico, that's, I mean, it's not something I saw. I didn't know any of this till the gospel was presented to me. And even though I didn't meet him until 1990, they were still fairly young. I can't say that anymore, right? But they were all fairly young. I also remember the first day. It rained that day. And the sisters were worried about me getting wet. And Billy said, "Leave him alone." I was going to go home. And I remember Stephen. I remember a little bit older, but I remember your kids. Elizabeth and Kelly. She's ashamed of what I'm... She's embarrassed of what I'm going to say right now. I was 20 and she was 10 when I met her. That sounds weird. It sounds weird. It's not weird. If you don't know the facts, you can't say it's weird. My now brother-in-law, 16, he's looking at me, "Don't say anything." And from them to him, just young men wanting to do God's will.
Amen. Yes, right. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord.
Of all of them, the one that seemed strangest to me was Michael. I befriended him, and he locked me in his room. We were not allowed to go out. His mother would take food and through the windows of that house, and tres de mayo, they would slip the food. I would sleep with him right here next. But one thing, that's not what caused a powerful impact. It's to see all these just devoted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Work in the morning, during the day, build houses. First day one, I've been working since I met him. I didn't work before that. But anyway, so to me that was real powerful. And I still wonder, how many times does this verse repeat itself, or how many times can we apply it? And sadly said, not many.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking even about the States. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about where I'm from. I'm talking about Mexico. Young, strong, young men whose word abideth in them, that overcame the wicked one. I'm sure the wicked one was still there, tempting, trying to defeat. But they got a hold of something. We know how to defeat the wicked one. It's not easy. We maybe fail at times, but we know the secret to defeat the wicked one. Sadly, and one of the reasons I share this with y'all is because I covet your prayers.
Amen.
Not only for the churches, but for the young men over there.
That's right.
Just 2 years ago, Kelly and I realized we were not among the young people anymore. We sat in a conference, in a table, and all the young people sat before us to have communion, and we were given advice. It was Beto and his wife and Kelly and I, and it just suddenly dawned. I'm not among that group anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm at the age when that you guys had when I met y'all. Anyway, what's sad and that I asked you to pray for is that one of the things happening, and I'm not including all the young people, But it is happening to a lot of them. And maybe even most of them. That they cannot say that they have overcome the wicked one.
That's right.
The contrary. The wicked one has overcome them.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Yes.
And I don't need to explain to you how much that hurts.
Yeah.
Because even though my kids have not reached that age where you call them, you know, the group of young people, there's many other young people that even though they're not mine, I feel as if they were.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
That's right. That's okay.
There's just something.
Yeah.
Your kids are like mine. Michael and Terry, I mean, they're loved dearly. They really are. And we haven't had much time to fellowship and all that. But you all are just so dear. So to see them hurt causes hurt right here. And that's only hurt. You know, they hurt, you hurt. But to see them overcome by the wicked one, that is deep pain. And you all know what I'm talking about. Because we've been in our bedrooms and we've fallen on our knees and we've cried. Because
yes.
We see that Satan has taken the advantage.
Yes, that's right.
And has his feet over their necks.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's not play victims. If he's overcome, it's because I want to say we, but mainly directed to the young people, is because they've given him the opportunity to overcome. Because there really is no reason that he should overcome us or them.
That's right.
Because of who is in us.
That's right, amen.
There's no reason for that defeat. There's no reason for the pain that we see that they go through. And yet that's exactly the way he has them. And like I said, I'm telling you about things that were going on, that are going on in Mexico. And we were just in a Acámbaro talking to the young people. 3 years ago, it began 5 years ago, this, what do you call it? Youth camp. And 3 years ago, I think it had been 140 young people at youth camp. And that I wasn't there for that one. I missed out on that one. But Noé and the ones that organized it were overwhelmed, but also overjoyed. I mean, wow. 140 young people that came. And they know what they're going for. They know it's not just playing time. They know they're going to listen to the word.
Yeah, that's right.
Then it was 70. And this time it was 40. We're going to do it next year. I'm now devoted to this. I didn't want to at first. I like privacy and all that. I like neatness. And it always rains. It's always muddy and tense and all that. But anyway, I got sucked in. I said, well, I can't let this just on the way and then... We need to pitch in. We need to help. I'm sucked in now. I liked it. But I do wonder what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
And how many are we going to have? There are some that just have no interest or lose the interest. And like I said, it hurts. Like I maybe mentioned before, whether you engage or not in the battle, you are in the battle. You may decide to fight the good fight, or you may decide to just, you know, back off. You're still in the battle. And what I see amongst the young people is that they don't take heed to the counsel. And I wonder why, and then I remember how I was. There's just an age where we just don't. I remember advice from y'all in a West Carolina, and it just, I didn't understand some things. Now I do. But you give advice and you warn them that there is, like we were talking, there is danger.
Yes, there is.
And that they need to go into this battle wisely.
Yeah, that's right.
And yet they don't. They go in and they go into a field filled with minds. And they don't even think what steps they're taking. They just go in there and they walk and they begin to get hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean seriously hurt.
Yep.
Yeah. We're supposed to be guided into this battlefield. And they don't want to be guided. Let me go. Let me go. I do not want to know.
Yeah.
I do not want to listen to the counsel. I do not want to hear advice.
Yeah.
And precipitadamente.
Precipitately.
Suddenly and stupidly. They just go in there and they get so badly hurt. Because we're in the same battlefield, you just look around you. I mean, you see them in their life and you see the hurt that the wicked one has caused.
Yes.
You know what I see in Mexico? And maybe it's happening here among some young people, young men, young women. I see maimed spirits. They went that way. They didn't consider the steps. And they got hurt and they got maimed. With amputated spirits. And you see them. And you cry for them. This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. And this is part of the battle.
Yeah.
This is part of the theme of evangelism. It's not only the wins. It's also the losses, right?
Yeah.
I can't come and just picture or present to you the positive. Going to pray, like we've said, don't pray only for more souls to be saved. Pray for those who are already saved too. Because they're laying on the ground and you see and you want to help them. And they're hurt, they're badly hurt. And yet, they don't know it. And they're crawling. Sadly crawling, and you look at them, and you can't help but hurt and tell them, "Hey, you need to come back. Let's go back. Let's gird up now. Let's take the advice.
Let's not go in foolishly.
Amen.
Let's flee.
Yes.
The youthful lust. Why be hurt?
Amen.
Why be maimed?
Yeah.
Why have an amputated spirit? Yeah. And you try to bring them home and you try to heal them. And some let themselves even be healed only to go back the same way they went in.
Yeah.
When I read that verse, I had to ask myself, what is that like? Young, strong men whose word abided in them, that had overcome the wicked one.
Yes.
And yet, I'm here by the mercy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
You can't tell, but I'm maimed. You can't tell. There is some, and if we have the spiritual eyes to see, you could see that my fighting is not done. I don't swing the sword the way I should, maybe. Because past years, some things just hurt me and scarred me. But you know what? I know I'm maimed. And I know I limp. But I don't want to quit the fight.
Amen.
I really don't. What would I do if I did? What would I do if I did? Things I can't imagine losing. And I know it can happen. My family and my ministry. If I lost any of those things, what would I be? To me, they're there. They're both right there. Precious. More precious than gold.
Yes.
Who amongst the young people can maybe identify with this? I went in stupidity. I didn't consider the steps I took. I got hurt. I got maimed. Is that defeat? Is there no opportunity for those who fall? I think there is.
Amen.
I can say I'm an example of it. You don't need to know the circumstances of my life, but I am an example of it.
Amen.
And I think we all are. Been hurt at one time or another, and yet God picked you up, girded you, gave you a little bit more wisdom, and sent you into battle again.
Amen.
I wanted, the intention was for this message, you know, to the young people. And I'm not going to talk, you know, put limit, you know, beginning from this age to whatever. The Lord can heal.
Yes.
And the Lord can give you strength.
Yes, He can.
And even maimed and hurt can gain some victory.
Amen.
Yes. I am so thankful. Not just that the Word came into my life, the testimonies that came with them.
Amen.
Beginning from you guys to even the young people. I mean, I remember you. That you were going to end up as a missionary. Never thought less of any of y'all, but it just never, you know, ever, when Kelly was 13, I remember her saying, I want to be a missionary wife. I want to be a missionary wife. And I remember thinking, well, she's 13 and this is what their parents do. So it's just this thing of, you know, imitating her parents. It wasn't. It was a conviction. And it was only, it was not only a conviction. It was a calling. Men and women. You want to know the truth of why I approached you two when you were there in Aguas? I wanted to practice my English. We Mexicans do that. We see a gringo. Hey, how are you? We do that. We want to show off how much we know. That was my intention, my first intention. Then we got in the gospel, and you make me mad. I remember the first verse, Hebrews 10:11. God calls from younger years. And just let me share something with you all. And I'm sure that behind these, there are many, many more stories that we don't know. A while back, ladies, you know, been evangelizing every Tuesday. And, you know, like always, you know, not much fruit. You get to one door. They got to one door. And Kelly got to meet a family. And she witnessed to them and began studies with them. And the family got saved. Not the whole family, but the ladies, the grandmother, the mother and the daughter who has some babies, they got saved. Anyway, she continued giving studies. And one time she couldn't make it. And I said, I'll go. As a matter of fact, I need to go. I want to go meet them. I want to go exhort them, you know, go to the meetings, see how I can be of any help. And she told me, she started sharing with me how dear Kelly became to her. And this is not to uplift in vainglory, you know. But she told me, just before the gospel came to my door, I had stood on a bridge with my two daughters ready to take a jump. Two little precious kids. And I was ready to end it. And you know what? She's still going through that. Things are so bad in her marriage. She gets treated in such an awful way that last time that we had to go, she knew she was being cheated on. She's known this for a long time. And it's like she didn't know. And she threw herself into the street hoping to get run over by a bus. Anyways, she was telling me how dear, how much she appreciated that person that went to her house, knocked on her door, and gave her the gospel. Does that mean anything? There's a song in here that talks about a lady sacrificing her kids. I don't remember which one it is, but number two, I said, I'm not going to forget. I forgot. These are two stories. And make the story short. I went to another study with that same family, and I sat right there on the sofa where, right next to the window, because I need a little bit of sun, because I'm cold nature now. And they kind of went, and I said, what? And I said, Kelly sits there. And I said, no, but Kelly's not with me today. And then they kind of, okay. That's how much she needs. And it's not because of her, it's because of what she gave them.
Amen.
There's people out there that need what you got.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
They are on the board of just, I cannot take it anymore. This life is just not worthwhile. But I want to finish up with this. It says, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. There are some out there who this can apply to.
Yes, yes.
Strong, and I'm not talking muscle strong.
Yes.
I'm talking about strong here.
Yes, that's right.
I'm talking about holiness.
Yeah,
I'm talking about power and prayer. I'm talking about some of you young men or women that have the Word of God abiding in you. And that could also carry this, that we have overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
There's not many, but there's a few.
Amen.
There's a few.
Yeah. Amen.
Just as being in a combat, a young man, I'm very bad at trying to guess, you know, the age, 22. And after some messages, he went over to me, and you could tell he was just broke. And he was telling me, Alex Santoyo. And he was telling me, I can't go on no more. I've tried. I've tried to be an example. I've tried to be a leader for the young people. But things are just piling up on me. I cannot fight no more. What did you tell him? The only thing I could tell him was, you cannot quit.
That's right.
You can't quit. Maybe others who have decided that, but some do not have permission to quit.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right, amen.
You gotta girdle up. You gotta clench that sword.
Amen.
And it don't matter how hard it gets.
That's right.
You need to go out there, you need to fight.
Amen. That's right, amen.
And that's something that we are hungry for in the churches.
Amen.
I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry for souls. And then we got some souls in church. And some of them are young people. You know what's one of the hardest parts in our ministry right now in Pachuca? The young people ministry.
Yeah.
We just cannot set them on fire.
Yeah.
Everything is just so... It's just, if they mess, then they've done enough. If they have a Bible and they read every now and then, well, then that's enough. They're not going to overcome the wicked one.
That's right.
I'm not going to do the math, but some years ago, some young people stood up who were strong. From Bill to Joey, right? Difference. One looks like this and the other one wasn't looking like that, but they were strong. And no doubt in my that the Word abided in them. And no doubt that they had overcome. We need more of that.
Amen.
Is there anyone, and I don't want to see any hands, but is there anyone amongst us, young men, women, that will want to do, will want to take the step and say, I will. Because young men like that are in so much need.
Yes, they are.
Amen.